we read from Paul's letter to the church in Rome. Abraham put his faith in God, and that faith was counted to him as righteousness. It wasn't that he'd done anything to earn him some kind of a payback from God, and in fact Paul makes that point. It's not about anything that we've done. It wasn't that he did some fantastic good works. It wasn't even that he was always a good man. He wasn't. Not always. Abraham did some pretty stupid and some bad things. It was simply that he put his faith in God. So what's going on here? Whatever happened to the reading we had a few weeks ago, in fact, the one that we had at our Lent studies, you know, he's told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? Isaiah 58 that we just read. Is not this the fast I require, says the Lord, to loose the fetters of injustice and untie the knots of the yoke and share your food with the hungry and take the homeless poor into your house and give clothes to those who have none and don't avoid your relatives. It sounds like action that you do to earn salvation, doesn't it, when you read things like that? But Abraham put his faith in God, and that was counted to him as righteousness. St. Paul says he was the father of many nations. But he's not talking about his physical descendants, but because he's the father of those who put their faith in God. His fatherhood is a spiritual one, St. Paul is saying. He's the father of those who put their faith in God. When hope seemed hopeless, he had faith in God, says the scriptures, just like Jesus did on the cross. You ever think about that one? When hope seemed hopeless, he still had his faith in God. If Jesus can have hope in the Father when he's hanging, dying on the cross, dying for the sin of the world, then what case is there for you and me not to trust in God's saving power for you and me when things go a bit awry? Whatever the circumstances, what case is there for us not to have confidence that I'm loved and held by God eternally if Jesus can do that when he's on the cross? We need to make a big distinction in our hearts and minds and in our faith between what pleases God and what it is that brings us into God's family. They're two separate things. Christian faith doesn't say you're going to be accepted as a migrant into God's kingdom by fulfilling a certain number of good deeds. God doesn't run a points-based system. What God asks is simple. Trust in me. Put your faith in me. Trust in me, whom you see in my Son. Do this and you will be a part of my kingdom forever. You'll be children of God. It's so simple. I was out visiting during the week and I went to see a lady, and she's a person of considerable intelligence. She's about 90 something. But mobility's not that brilliant for her anymore. And she used to skip around like a lamb on a hillside in springtime. Her hearing's still okay and the mind is as sharp as a razor, but she can't see. And she's got a problem with her legs, so she can't walk around. And she said, I feel so useless. But that's got nothing to do with our belonging to God's kingdom and being loved and accepted and a part of the kingdom of God, of being the children of God. I think I've told you the story. I hope you don't mind me to you again. One of the chaps in a church I was in before, the daughter that was an adopted daughter, and she came with a bit of baggage, as sometimes adopted children do. And she had to work that out, and she had to work it out in a relationship with her dad. Derek was an absolutely fantastic Christian bloke, and he hit me once with something that really got it for me. His daughter, 14 years old, standing there screaming into his face at the top of a voice, "I hate you, I hate you, I hate you." And Derek's response, "Well, that's all right, darling, because I'm going to keep on loving you anyway, so it's all right." I mean, there's a picture of you and me and God. There's a big difference between what brings us into relationship with God and what pleases God. Derek's daughter wasn't pleasing him, but she's still massively loved. Little Alex can't do anything clever or brilliant at this stage, but she's massively loved despite the pooey nappies and the late nights. The lady I was talking about feels terribly useless, but that's got nothing to do with the love of God around her. And you and me look at ourselves, don't we? And we say, "Oh, I did this, I did that. Oh, I wish I hadn't." That's got nothing to do with God loving us and wrapping his arms around us. We are saved by grace, by faith, putting our trust in God. That's the heart, the soul, the centre, and all that makes sense in God's kingdom. So it's not my lineage or my culture. Paul is talking about Abraham. He says it's not about ancestry. It's not what I can achieve or fail at. It's not about human will. It's grace and it's faith. And our inclusion is an act of God that stands beyond everything else. Was it John who said, "As many as received him, he gave power to become the children of God who were born into his kingdom, not because of their ancestry, not by human will, but by God." And my compassion and my sense of justice will please God, but it doesn't make me God's family. My frustrating failures and my sins and my guilt may not please God, but they don't disown me from God. Not by the will of flesh, but by God we have the power to become children of God through grace by faith, and not by what we do or don't do. What we do or don't do is a consequence, an outworking of that relationship that God has given as gift to those who put their faith in him. And it will shift us, just like my daughter's relationship with her little girl is going to shift her through her life. I don't love my kids because they do good things or bad things. I just love them because they're my kids. But that relationship and Sian's relationship with them has a huge impact on who they've become. So let's never get it mixed up. Yes, we're called to be people of justice, and we're called to be people of compassion, and we're called to be people of kindness and gentleness and integrity, and we're called to be people of faithfulness. We're called to be all these things, but that isn't what makes us God's children. Abraham trusted in God, and that was counted to him. It's not like we sometimes get this image, don't we, of righteousness being about the person who's really, really good and can sort of look down their noses a little bit at the other people who are not quite so good. But righteousness in the New Testament, the word is to do with, it's to do with the faithfulness of God. It comes from God, not from us. And it's not something you can earn or make yourself. It's given by God. You're safe. I suppose that's what I want to say to you. You might muck up, but you're safe. And sometimes you'll rise to great heights. And you're no more loved than the person who's failing. And sometimes you'll fail miserably. But you're no less loved than the person who's doing amazing things. And you may have the capacity to play beautiful music of a Sunday morning. But you're more loved than the person who sits there and says, I feel so useless. It's about faith, it's about grace. Abraham had it right. Think about the disciples. They didn't get it right. They didn't understand a lot of the time. But like Abraham, they followed Jesus. They put their trust in him. That's what we're being asked to do. It doesn't let us off the hook with morality. Not at all. I'm going to do far more for a person I love. You're like that, aren't you? The people you love, you'll bend over backwards for them. You'll break your neck for them. And that's why the New Testament writers talk all the time about the love of God, because they know where the power really lies. Christian faith is not a faith about being good. It is a faith of amazed wonder and a realization that I have no choice but to trust it all to God. And no, it's not me that won't let him down, but it's him that won't let me down. That's what amazes me. That's what makes me want to follow Jesus.